Hello, and welcome to the History of Japan podcast, episode 478, The Dynasty, Part 1. If you're at all interested in U.S. politics, you've probably noticed that a few names tend to come up consistently across the decades. Names like Kennedy, or Roosevelt, or Bush have become fixtures of American political discourse, and often you'll hear rumors about the family of a popular politician deciding to throw their own hats into the ring. Political dynasties, as they're called, are nothing new. The US and pretty much every other democracy has had them from the jump, and from a certain perspective, they make sense. As humans, we tend to judge people at least in part based on who they know or are related to, hence the enduring importance of personal connections and networking in, say, getting a job compared to deciding purely off resumes. It makes sense, regardless of what you think of the practice, that we would extend that same logic to politics as well. Of course, the criticisms of this kind of political dynasty are manifold. They enable corruption. They concentrate power in the hands of a small elite. They undercut the notion of merit-based elections. And of course, as the name itself implies, they're just a little bit too akin to the old-school aristocracies that democratic and republican politics was supposed to get rid of. And yet the phenomenon also doesn't appear to be going anywhere, and so it behooves us to understand it. So over the next few weeks, we'll take a look at one of the great political dynasties of Japan, one that has been there pretty much from the inception of Japanese electoral politics. I refer, of course, to the Hatoyamas, a name that rings large across the history of Japanese politics and with very good reason. Between the very first general election of 1890 and the one held in 2012, the vast majority of Japan's elections have had at least one Hatoyama standing for office in them, and when that's happened, they've won more than they've lost. The Hatoyama family journey begins with Hatoyama Kazuo, a name that probably is not immediately familiar to you unless you are very interested in Japanese politics, but I'll tell you right now, his story is going to seem pretty familiar. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Disaffected samurai from a domain that did not do well out of the end of feudalism gets political and ends up joining a political party. Hatoyama Kazuo, you see, has pretty much the same origin story as a lot of other Japanese political party members. He was born in 1856 in what was then the Toranomon district of Edo. Now, of course, it's called Tokyo. His family were minor samurai in service to the Miura family lords of Katsuyama Domain in what was then Mimasaka Province. Today it's Okayama Prefecture. Katsuyama was a small domain with only 23,000 koku, or bushels of rice, as its official income. By comparison, a large domain would have a six-digit or higher income. And the Hatoyamas were not exactly prominent samurai in the domain either. Kazuo's father was Hatoyama Hirofusa, the Orusuyaku of the Miura family Yashiki, or mansion, in Edo. Every family of daimyo, or lords, were required by the rules of the Tokugawa shoguns to alternate between their domains and the capital, where they would attend in person on the shogun while living in a yashiki, or mansion. It was the job of the Hatoyama family to keep things running at the Miura family mansion while the lord was back in the domain proper, hence their son being born in the big city rather than back in western Honshu, which is a much more backwater part of Japan. Hatoyama Hirofusa was by all accounts a trusted and capable guy, which didn't really have anything to do with his job, because remember those were hereditary under the feudal system. However, Hirofusa had found other ways to distinguish himself. For example, he was reputed to be a very talented swordsman. His work, in turn, was recognized. His lord, Miura Akitsugu, arranged a marriage to a member of the distant Miura clan, Miura Kikuko, for him. All of the Hatoyama family political dynasty is descended from the two of them. Hirofusa and Kikuko had five sons between them. In birth order, they are Matazo, Morishige, Jutaro, Kazuo, and Goro. And, as was the common practice of the time, Hirofusa decided to clear out some extra sons via the age-old practice of adoption. After all, only one son could take over the family job, and there were other samurai families who were in need of a male heir. Indeed, Hirofusa had been born into another samurai family of Katsuyama domain, the Ogawa, before being adopted by the heirless Hatoyamas. So Hirofusa kept his third son, Jutaro, and the youngest, Goro. Jutaro in particular was apparently a very promising boy who looked like a good candidate as family heir. The others were adopted out. The eldest, Matazo, was adopted by another samurai family, the Fujita, but died fairly young. Second eldest, Morishige, went to the father's birth family, the Ogawa, who were now without an heir for the current generation. And fourth son, Kazuo, did the best out of them all. He went to his mother's birth family, the Miuras, who were, of course, a family of lords, albeit low-ranking ones. However, Kazuo would not remain a Miura. His brother Jutaro, supposedly very promising, the only thing Kazuo ever beat him at was sumo wrestling, was also very sickly. He would take ill and die of pneumonia in 1868. After some wrangling, Kazuo was the one who was eventually returned to his legal birth family, though they never cut ties or anything like that. Remaining in touch with biological families was always pretty common for adoptees. When Hatoyama Hirofusa died in turn in 1877, it ended up being Hatoyama Kazuo who would succeed him as family head. And apparently without Jutaro, he was the natural choice. He was strong, smart, gifted, and talented at everything from swordsmanship to school. After his brother Jutaro died, Kazuo, who was all of 12 when this happened, vowed to his birth father to make up the loss, and promptly got himself admitted to what was called the Kaihōjuku, a school of Chinese classics. The school's students were mostly between 17 and 20 by the Western count. Kazuo was 12, and yet he still excelled. Apparently one of his favorite tricks was volunteering to do errands for the smartest kids in exchange for one-on-one tutoring. In 1870, he transferred over to the Kaisei Gakko, an experimental government-run school on the Western model, which would eventually become Tokyo Imperial University, today's Tokyo University. Admissions in 1870 were competitive, but on the domain level. Katsuyama Domain, as one of the smallest in the country, was allowed to send only one student to the school, and Kazuo, by this time 14, successfully competed for the spot. This was a school that valued very different things from what Kazuo had been learning. Among other things, students were graded into classes based on their fluency of English, from class 1, the very best, to class 15, the very worst. Hatoyama Kazuo entered in class 15. By 1872, 2 years later, he was in class 1. By 1874, he was coming in first in the school's competitive exams. Simply put, he was an insanely driven kid, and one who was lucky to be born when he was, when, thanks to the westernizing bent of the new government, his status as a comparatively low-ranking samurai within the Great Pecking Order did not count for very much. Eventually, Kazuo would gravitate to the Faculty of Law, and in 1875, successfully petitioned to be sent to the United States for study overseas. He was one of 11 students chosen by competitive exams for that overseas program, an exam on which, of course, he placed first, supposedly after not sleeping for several days so he could cram. By 1877, he'd earned a BA in law from Columbia University, having learned shortly after graduation of his father's death and his succession to Hatoyama family headship. Shortly thereafter, he won his first court case as a lawyer on behalf of his American landlady, Jane Abbott. Her deceased husband, John Stevens Cabot Abbott, yes, that was his real name, had published a popular biography of Napoleon. Despite its continued sales and his ridiculously fun-to-say name, she lived in substantial poverty. Kazuo was able to determine that the publisher was illegally withholding royalties from her and sued them successfully on her behalf. That performance earned him a spot in the law program at Connecticut's own Yale University, which is, of course, the second best school in central Connecticut. It's a decent get, but it's no Wesleyan. Still, good enough, I suppose. He graduated from Yale in 1880 with a JD. From there, Hatoyama returned to Japan, and it's here that his political career really starts. 1880, of course, was the time of the Jiyu Minken Undo, or Freedom and People's Rights Movement. This was a political movement of French and English-style liberals whose exposure to Western political theory had left them enamored of limited government, human rights, all that jazz we associate with the liberal political tradition. I should note, by the way, that these were liberals in the political science sense of the term. In the United States, the terms liberal and progressive, and sometimes leftist, are often conflated, but they're very different. Liberals support limited constitutional government on the model of the United States. Progressives tend to favor stronger social safety nets, and thus stronger government that can implement them. Think the Nordic model. Leftist, meanwhile, is often a catch-all term for Marxist and Marxist-adjacent ideologies. And yes, those are simplified definitions, but bear with me here. The Jiyu Minken Undo was liberal, but it was not leftist or progressive. The conservative political movement, as embodied by the Liberal Democratic Party in modern Japan, actually claims that its own ancestry, so to speak, stretches back to the Freedom and People's Rights Movement. We can divide the Jiyu Minken Undo / Freedom and People's Rights Movement into two streams. The first was a more extreme one inspired by Republican France, though its adherents did not support an abolition of Japan's monarchy on the French model, and led by the Tosa Domain samurai Itagaki Taisuke. The second was a more moderate strain of liberalism based on British constitutional monarchy. It was toward this second, more moderate option, championed by the samurai of old Hizen domain Okuma Shigenobu, that Hatoyama Kazuo gravitated. Specifically, Kazuo was an early member of the Rikken Kaishinto, roughly Constitutional Reform Party, one of the first two liberal parties, alongside Itagaki Taisuke's Jiyuto, or Liberal Party. His experience in school had made Kazuo deeply enamored of the British-style system. Indeed, his BA at Columbia had been focused on British common law. He was also a big believer in the necessity for Japan to have a strong civil society independent of the government, and especially of the need for a strong tradition of lawyers and legal education to uphold the impartiality of the legal system itself. These pointedly were not goals that members of the reigning government at the time would have shared. Okuma Shigenobu himself had been drummed out of power in the government in 1882, ostensibly over a corruption scandal, practically to stop him from advocating for a limited constitutional government as the reigning political oligarchy began the work of drafting Japan's constitution. The leading figures of Japan's government in the 1880s were overwhelmingly from the former feudal domains of Choshu and Satsuma, which had led the overthrow of feudalism, and generally composed of men who believed in centralized, statist government. Their ideal was not British, American, or French-style limited government and republicanism, but Imperial Germany, an autocratic monarchy with limited concessions to democratic ideas in the form of a highly circumscribed Reichstag, or parliament. So it makes sense that Hatoyama Kazuo would gravitate away from the government. He was not from Satsuma or Choshu domains, nor did his views accord with those in power, and towards Okuma and his English-style liberalism. Indeed, the two became close friends and political allies from the jump. Kazuo may not have always been the most valuable of allies, though. One of the first things he's known for upon his return to Japan was getting fired from his alma mater, now Tokyo Imperial University. Upon his initial return to Japan, Hatoyama had been hired to teach, and was by all accounts an excellent and skilled instructor. However, in spring of 1881, he was tapped to give the commencement speech before the university leadership as well as several government dignitaries, including members of the imperial family. He proceeded to give a speech that was extremely critical of the current government and its ministers, for which he was promptly fired for improper political speech at an official function. Still, that didn't really slow him down very much. By 1882, he was one of Japan's first registered lawyers, and was elected to Tokyo's own local assembly the very same year. He drafted its bylaws, which are the basis for most parliamentary bylaws and regional assemblies, down to this very day. Hatoyama Kazuo would remain a local assemblyman in Tokyo until his death, even after his election to the National Diet, because while it's not allowed now, back in those days you could serve in a national and local assembly simultaneously. Kazuo's growing status as a lawyer and assemblyman meant that by 1884, the very same institution that had given him the boot for the lack of restraint in his speech was inviting him to return as a lecturer. Basically, he reads to me as a man possessed of a very deep political conviction around right and wrong, whose utter assurance in those convictions led him to what were probably, in retrospect, not the wisest career choices, but he was also a very talented and ambitious guy, which made it hard for him to be kept down. During this time, Kazuo also got married to Taga Haruko, the daughter of a samurai family. Hers was from Matsumoto Domain, now Nagano Prefecture. The future Hatoyama Haruko was by all accounts enormously bright, and had received an education in the Chinese classics as well as English, this at a time when women's education was not widely accepted in Japan. Supposedly, her father had to send her from Nagano to a school in Tokyo in a palanquin with her face covered so as to avoid causing a scandal where she's seen headed off to school. She ended up graduating top of her class in English from Tokyo Women's Normal School, a teacher training college, now Ochanomizu University. From there, she was supposed to go to Philadelphia to study further, but the program that was supposed to send her there was scuttled due to the objections of conservative government leaders who felt some kind of way about women going overseas on their own. Haruko was devastated and deeply depressed about that turn of events. 2 years later, continuing her study in Japan, she was introduced to Kazuo by an omiai, a traditional matchmaker, and the two were married at the end of 1881. By all accounts, they got along, as one might expect of a marriage of bookishly inclined nerdy types who were that into being in school. Still, one has to wonder how different Haruko's life would have been had she been able to go to the US, and one wonders how much time and energy she spent asking herself that very same question. The couple had two kids in very rapid succession, Hatoyama Ichiro, born in 1883, and Hatoyama Hideo, born in 1884. Of the two, Ichiro is far and away the more politically important. Hideo became a lawyer but did not follow the family trade in politics. We will, of course, get to the kids in a second, but first I want to talk about Kazuo's transition into politics, since, of course, that's going to end up being pretty important for the Hatoyamas. As is probably pretty clear by this point, Hatoyama Kazuo's defining political relationship was with Okuma Shigenobu, the de facto head of the moderate Kaishinto liberals in Japan. By the late 1880s, their relationship was pretty close. In 1888, Okuma was invited back into government 6 years after he'd been kicked out, because his Anglophile nature gave him a close relationship with the British reps in the area, with whom, it was hoped, Japan could renegotiate their unequal treaties, and because by this point the new constitution Okuma had hoped to influence was a done deal and out of his control. Specifically, Okuma was offered the job of foreign minister, and both accepted and offered Kazuo a gig as one of his deputies. Okuma in turn would do his best to negotiate with the British, but his work would be cut short in the early winter of 1889. A right-wing extremist, angry at Okuma's liberal views, tried to kill him with a bomb. The blast mangled one of Okuma's legs, though he did survive. Still, the injury forced a retirement from politics. Kazuo, feeling obligated to do so, would follow in his mentor's footsteps and resign in January 1890. Kazuo would continue to follow Okuma, whose next move after politics was to go into education. The two collaborated on the foundation of a private school, the Tokyo Senmon Gakko, which eventually became Waseda University, one of the most prestigious private universities in all of Japan. Both men, as believers in Anglo-American-style liberalism, were big believers in the importance of an independent education system not run by the state, and which could thus create a civil society independent of government dictates. One place Kazuo was hesitant to follow, though, was parliamentary politics. In February 1889, Japan's first constitution was promulgated to great ceremony and fanfare. That constitution granted some form of electoral representation, fulfillment, it was said, of a promise going back to the early days of Meiji and the Charter Oath of 1868's statement that deliberative assemblies shall be established on an extensive scale and all government matters determined by public discussion. In reality, under the 1889 Constitution, all government matters were very much not determined by public discussion. The Constitution established a bicameral legislature, the National Diet, modeled after the German Reichstag and the UK's Parliament. Like those two legislatures, the National Diet had a lower house that was elected by the people, in this case called the House of Representatives, and an upper house from the aristocracy, the House of Peers. Both houses had to concur to pass legislation, and the emperor, which really meant the emperor's ministers, had veto power. Still, it was something, and so those interested in pursuing parliamentary politics began to organize. Unsurprisingly, this included a lot of former members of the Freedom and People's Rights movements, and very quickly both Okuma's Riken Kaishinto and the old Jiyuto, the more radical of the two, re-emerged and organized for Japan's first general election in July of 1890. Collectively, those two parties were referred to as Minto, or People's Parties, opposed by the Rito, or political parties, composed of supporters of the government. There were also a substantial number of independents who wanted to portray themselves as aloof from the Minto-Rito conflict, for a wide variety of reasons. This first election, frankly, was extremely violent. Right-wing groups and bands of Yakuza attacked anti-government campaigners, it is often suggested with the encouragement or at least tacit approval of the government leadership. The day of the election, attempts to suppress Minto rallies led to nationwide riots that saw 25 killed and 388 injured. One might naturally expect that Hatoyama Kazuo would, in all of this, gravitate to his friend and mentor Okuma Shigenobu and the Riken Kaishinto. In fact, initially, Kazuo did not even intend to run for office at all. His rationale for avoiding it is unclear. My guess is that his American liberal sympathies, which, as we've seen, meant he was very much in favor of a civil society of schools and lawyers and the like, which could serve as a check on the power of the government, made him somewhat uncomfortable working for the state. And while running for office is certainly one way to influence the government, it also means being a part of the government, which means giving up a degree of independence in pursuing your own paths towards your own goals. Still, in the primaries for the election, Kazuo was nominated by the people of his district, Tokyo's 9th, and ended up running as an independent because of it. However, both his ambiguity about government service and his American-influenced sense of what it meant to run for office, this at a time when it was considered ungentlemanly in the US to campaign yourself or put too much effort into trying to win, meant that, well, Hatoyama Kazuo didn't really try that hard to win. Indeed, the day of the election, he was not even in Tokyo, but in Sendai, trying a case. However, that was probably a good thing. Running as an independent meant his supporters came under attack from all those right-wing pro-government types, and in the end, Kazuo just barely lost. Like, literally just barely, by about 15 votes. That said, the election did turn out to be a big rebuke for the government, at least in part because of the violence. The two Minto, or People's Parties, did the best. Out of 300 seats in the initial House of Representatives, 130 went to the more extreme Jiyuto, and 41 to the more moderate Kaishinto, giving them a majority. 45 more seats were independents. Together, the two Rito, or government parties, could muster only 84. As you might imagine, this made for a somewhat unstable governing situation. The power of the People's Parties was limited by the Constitution, which heavily limited the powers of the Parliament and didn't even allow it to pick the Prime Minister. Moreover, the Jiyuto and Kaishinto leadership were convinced to join the government in a unity coalition after the election, the idea being that all parties should join together after all the violence to show healing and unity and all that jazz. Despite this, the People's Parties were able to exert enough political influence and pressure to hound two government-appointed prime ministers into resigning in as many years, Yamagata Aritomo and Matsukata Masayoshi, if you're wondering. Matsukata in particular found the People's Parties deeply annoying, especially their habit of constantly questioning his every decision as prime minister, which is, to be fair, the job of opposition parties. However, he was so annoyed by them that he dissolved the Diet and ordered new elections held in February 1892. Once again, in the primaries, Hatoyama Kazuo was nominated as an independent for Tokyo's 9th district, and this time he won. And he would keep up a winning record from this point onward, remaining in the Diet from 1892 until his death. And that was quite a feat, honestly. We haven't talked that much about early electoral politics in Japan up till now, but they were frankly very messy. Despite all the lovely talk about the unity of imperial subjects with their emperor and coming together to direct the future of the nation in harmony and all that blah blah blah, the reality was that the basic division between the Minto, the People's Parties, supported by Japan's propertied middle class, the only ones who could vote in those early years, and the Rito, the government-backed parties, was basically impossible to overcome. Members of the governing oligarchy were used to, well, oligarchy. In the quarter century or so between the Meiji Restoration and the beginning of electoral politics, they'd run the country basically by themselves, and many of them tended to have very hierarchical views about the obedience that inferiors should show their superiors. Meanwhile, the urban middle class was very tired of being kept out of power when it was their labor that was driving the nation's economic growth and modernization, not to mention the fact that the strongest powers on earth were liberal empires like the UK and France, so clearly Japan should be emulating that example. The result was a very unstable political arrangement. In the first 10 years of electoral politics in Japan, there were 6 general elections, and in both 1894 and 1898, there were 2 rounds of elections in the same year when the first one produced too much instability. The 1892 election that saw Hatoyama Kazuo come into office was a particularly bad one. The great historian Donald Keane described it as, quote, probably the most corrupt in Japanese history. The Home Minister, Shinagawa Yajiro, took it upon himself to crack down on the Minto out of a belief they were disloyal and disruptive. He would later claim that a remark made by the Meiji Emperor himself just before the elections to the effect that he was concerned that if the same politicians won re-election, the political situation would remain disturbed and uncertain meant that he was acting with the Emperor's blessing and authority. At any rate, Shinagawa took that remark from the emperor as a condemnation of the Minto and used his powerful position as home minister, which gave him control of both the police and prefectural governments, to institute a massive crackdown on those parties. He directed the police to investigate the parties on trumped-up bribery and corruption charges, and was probably behind the gangs of thugs which stole ballot boxes in Kochi and parts of Saga Prefecture, respectively hotbeds of Jiuto and Kaishinto support. Because of his brazen actions, Shinagawa would be forced to resign in disgrace after the election. The whole affair was such a mess that even the unelected House of Peers, composed entirely of aristocrats, voted to condemn the way things were handled, and in the next round of elections there was far more attention to cracking down on bribery and political intimidation than there had been in the past. Even so, this kind of thing remained a problem throughout the decade, and it is a testament to Hatoyama's political talents that he was able to win under such circumstances. Indeed, Hatoyama not only survived in politics, he thrived. He would even serve a term as Speaker of the House of Representatives from 1896 to 97. Here's a fun piece of political trivia, by the way. The rules of the Diet give the Speaker a tie-breaking vote in the very rare circumstance that that happens. It's pretty uncommon because of how many members the House has, 300 then, over 450 now. Hatoyama remains the only speaker in Japanese history to have exercised this power twice. That will probably never happen again, because the House of Representatives is about 50% larger than it was in his day, making ties way more of a statistical unlikelihood. Hatoyama Kazuo was also very influential in one of the big political shakeups of the late 1890s. After a first round of elections in March of 1898, the sitting Prime Minister, Ito Hirobumi, put forward a government-backed proposal to the National Diet to raise land taxes. This measure proved very unpopular in the House of Representatives, where the feeling was that taxes were plenty high enough already, and the government just had to spend smarter. The tax increase was resoundingly defeated in the House of Representatives, and this was one of the few areas where the Constitution did give the Diet real power. Tax increases could not go forward without the approval of the House of Representatives. An angry Ito dissolved the Diet and called for new elections after only a few weeks of parliamentary session, and here he badly overplayed his hand. Both Itagaki's Jiuto and Okuma's party, which by this point had changed its name to the Shinpōtō or Progressive Party, but was still largely the same group of people, were incensed by what they saw as a heavy-handed act by the Prime Minister. As a result, the two people's parties agreed to a merger in April of 1898. The Kenseitō, or Constitutional Government Party, was born. Now, up until this point, Hatoyama Kazuo had been an independent on paper, albeit one who was in the broader orbit of Okuma Shigenobu and often aligned himself with Okuma's politics. But he too was very angry over Ito's refusal to, as the youth say these days, take the L for his failed tax policy, and so openly aligned himself with this new people's super party. Supposedly, he was even the one who came up with the name Kenseitō, which certainly tracks given his love of constitutional government. To be fair, he was not the only one pissed at Ito Hirobumi. The elections, slated for August of 1898, essentially became a national referendum on how Ito had handled his political defeat, and the message was pretty clear. The House of Representatives had 300 seats at this time. The combined Kenseitō won 244. Pro-government parties were able to pick up a grand total of 30, with the rest going to independents. Ito, with his face covered with political egg, resigned as Prime Minister a few weeks before the election when it was clear things were not going well. Under the constitution of the time, the emperor and his advisors could offer the job of Prime Minister to anyone they wanted, and Okuma Shigenobu was their choice, hoping that maybe he could diffuse some of the tension around Ito's screw-up. This was the first time a politician got the nod for the top spot, though that was a decision again made by the emperor and his advisors. It wasn't until a few decades later that politically appointed PMs became the rule. It's a measure of just how big a shakeup the Kenseitō represented that this was even offered. The Minto People's Parties had always done better than the government-backed Rito ones, but this was a much harsher defeat than the government had ever faced before. One could easily imagine a world where, out of this resounding victory for the People's Parties, a stronger anti-oligarch political movement could begin to grow and seriously challenge the Meiji establishment. However, that's not quite how it shook out. When the two people's parties had agreed to a merger, they had, in time-honored parliamentary tradition, set some terms around their coming together. Itagaki Taisuke's Jiuto was the bigger party initially, and so in any cabinet its members would get more spot, 60% of them compared to 40% for Okuma and his Shinpōtō. In compensation, Okuma would ask for and get the nod as Prime Minister, while Itagaki would get the secondary but still powerful role of Home Minister. However, when Okuma became the Prime Minister, he ignored the deal and flipped things the other way around in his appointments, 60% for his guys, 40% for Itagaki's. To make things worse, one of Okuma's appointees, the Education Minister Ozaki Yukio, then gave a speech on the floor of the Diet that was very controversial because he appeared to be advocating for reducing the emperor's political powers, or even for a fully republican government with no monarch at all. Ozaki was forced to resign, and once again Okuma replaced him with one of his guys rather than one of Itagaki's. And this finally led to the breakup of the Kenseito, in turn forcing this People's Party out of power after just a few months. A new prime minister, the stolid army man and Meiji oligarch Yamagata Aritomo, came in to replace Okuma. And this proved fateful for the career of Hatoyama Kazuo. He'd been pretty involved in this early experiment at popular government, and early on had looked poised for a cabinet role under Okuma. But Okuma consistently snubbed him for any of those jobs, and after this moment, where really it was Okuma's mistakes that blew the whole thing up, a rift developed between the two men. What exactly happened between them is not clear. I would guess it had something to do with Kazuo's constant insistence on running as an independent up until this point, and keeping some distance from Okuma, combined with Kazuo, again, justifiably blaming Okuma for the failure of the Kenseito, but honestly, nobody really knows. What we do know is that in the aftermath, Hatoyama Kazuo began to drift in a different political direction. After the fiasco of 1898, Ito Hirobumi recognized that political parties could not simply be ignored or combated with government-backed parties that were pretty obvious stooges for himself and his fellow oligarchs. As such, he took it upon himself to organize his own party and to try and include some members of the Minto opposition within it. Ito said his goal was to prove the value of a loyal opposition. Read cynically, it's also a way of disarming said opposition by incorporating its members while paying lip service to their ideas, not to mention that it would stop the formation of another super party. The result was the Seiyukai, or Friends of Government Party, formed in 1902 out of a very weird amalgamation of bureaucrats, military men, and pro-government types in general with former liberals. Most of the liberals who joined the Seiyukai were former Jiuto people from Itagaki Taisuke's side of things, Itagaki himself having retired from politics in the wake of the whole mess of 1898. But Hatoyama Kazuo would end up joining the Seiyukai himself. Early on, he tried to stay loyal to Okuma Shigenobu, joining his Kensei Honto, the somewhat snarkily named True Constitutional Government Party. But Okuma would continue to treat Kazuo very badly. Among other things, he fired Kazuo from his honorary role as president of Waseda University in 1907. And it's probably that treatment that led to Kazuo finally abandoning his longtime political ally and jumping over to the Seiyukai. Still, this transition was not what you'd call a long-term one. By this point, Hatoyama, who'd been working as a politician twice over, and lawyer, and school administrator, was in seriously ill health from what was later revealed to be cancer. By 1911, his symptoms got much worse, and he would die on October 3rd. Hatoyama Kazuo was, I think it's fair to say, a true believer in Western liberalism, who worked himself about as hard as it's possible to do so in the name of advancing that cause. That makes him, in a sense, an odd man to serve as the founding dynast of Japan's greatest political family, but he's not really the one who put the Hatoyamas on the map. We'll see the man who really did next week. For now, that's all for this week. Thank you very much for listening. This show is a part of the Facing Backward podcast network. You can find out more about this show and our other shows at facingbackward.com. You can support the network at patreon.com/facingbackward. Special thanks to those who have given at our shout-out tier: Jan Leonard, Stephen Elkins, Martin Oliveira, Clark Canning, Ian Kellett, Matt Haynes, Jackie Frostocker, Monkey Sack, Alelo McCulloch, Karen Murphy, Peter Wales, Robert Prine, William, Arno, Jonas Brandis, Nicholas Kroll, Jerry Spinrad, Jared Stevens, Jeffrey Dwork, Stefan Hruschka, Joshua Kane, Robbie and Kat, Jacob Key, Aaron Finkbeiner, A House Is a Perfectly Cromulent Mascot, and The Fish I Catch Are Rhodes Scholars, compared to Samuel Alito, Schmuck. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next week for part 2.